would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. I would like to read from Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I encourage you periodically to go home and read Mark, the book of Mark. It's always inspiring and strengthening and encouraging to me. As I read the book of Mark, it just seems that one after another is just, every page is telling us about some miraculous work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 5, we have the healing of the Gadarene, which was a great miracle that God did, and this man that was full of demons, God healed him. Then right after God healed him, I want to begin in verse 21. Mark 5, beginning in verse 21, the Word of God says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, Jairus has come to Jesus because his little daughter was nigh unto death, very, very sick. And as they began to go on their journey, they came upon another woman that had an issue of blood, and Jesus took time to stop and to heal her. And while he was healing that woman, and while that woman was relieved of something that she had been hurt with all of her life, for 12 years, the scripture says that someone came and told them that Jairus' daughter had died. How would you have felt if you had had Jesus on the way home with you to heal your little daughter? How would you feel when he stopped to heal someone else, and then while he was healing that person, you got word that your child had died? I probably would have been a little angry with Jesus for stopping and helping a woman when my little daughter was in such critical condition. The most wonderful thing, or one of the most wonderful things, is when you start thinking about the wonderful things about God, one of the most wonderful things is that He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. God was right there. God is never late to an appointment. Something never happens because God just didn't get there in time to fix the problem. Look at verse 35. Mark 5, verse 35 says, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, that is Peter, James, and John, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. I want us to go back and think about what Jesus said as they came and told that the little daughter was dead. I want you to look at verse 36. The last part of the verse tells us what Jesus said. He says, "Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe." I don't know of anything we need to do any more today and every day of our lives than to not be afraid and to believe. There is tremendous amount of fear in the world today. Most every week I talk with people or people call me that are afraid. They're afraid about the economy. They're afraid about our government. They're afraid about sickness that different people have. They're afraid of a lot of different things. I'm sometimes afraid. Are you ever afraid? Are you never afraid? I think probably most of us are sometimes afraid. And the thing that will always drive away fear, doesn't matter what it is that's causing you to be afraid, the number one thing that will cause you to drive fear away is if you will believe, not just believe in God, but if you will believe God. As long as I am believing in God and believing God, I do not have fear. When the people of God stop trusting in the Lord, when the people of God begin looking at all the troubles, you know, when was it Peter began to sink when he was walking on the water? It was when he began to look at all the waves that were boisterous round about him. And Jesus said to Peter, "O ye of little faith." The people of God need, you and I, we need to trust in the Lord more. We need to believe in God and believe God. The more that we believe God, the less we will fear. The more faith that we exercise, the less that we will be afraid. We need to pray, God, help us. Help us all to believe God. Help us to believe in God. Help us to believe that He is, and help us to believe that He is able to help us in all of our troubles. Did you know there's nobody that cares more about you and your troubles than Jesus Christ? Jesus is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Jesus knows all about your troubles. You remember when the Apostle Paul was on that ship and it looked like that everybody on the ship was going to die. And Paul was a prisoner on that ship. And even Paul was, it seems that Paul was somewhat afraid. And the angel came and spoke to them and says, "Be not afraid. Be of good courage." And then Paul began to speak to the men on the ship, and he told them, "Be not afraid." What does the text say here in Mark 5, verse 36? It says, "Be not afraid, only believe." That's all you have to do, is just believe. Now, that sounds easier than it sometimes is. When the angel told, when God spoke to Paul and told him not to be afraid, that even though they were in the middle of a storm and they were out on the sea, and even though it looked like that they might be fixing to die, and the angel told him to be not afraid, but just to believe God and trust in God. When he did that, when Paul believed God, Paul stopped being afraid. And Paul told the other people that were on the ship, he said, "There will not be the loss of any man's life." And he told them to be not afraid, but to rejoice in the Lord. And he says, "For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we really believe God? Do we really believe God? Because any time that I'm afraid, it is always because of unbelief in my heart. I'm talking about when I'm afraid of men, when I'm afraid of people, when I'm afraid of things that might happen. It's always because I am not trusting in the Lord. I am not believing God, and I am not believing in God. And when I say God, I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 14 and verse 1. He says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I need to believe in God the Father, but I need to believe in God the Son. I know that God the Father, I'm talking about a perfect Father. I had a good daddy, and many of you have had good parents. But brethren, there's nobody that I can look to like my heavenly Father. I need to cry out, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." I need to say and pray to him every day. I need to commune with my Father. I need to know that he's not just the God of heaven and earth, but I need to know he is my heavenly Father. And as my heavenly Father, he loves me. And as my heavenly Father, as the God of heaven and earth, and my Father, he is able to help me in all of my troubles and all of my problems. And if I believe that, if I believe that God loves me, and if I believe that God is omnipotent, I have no reason to fear. Be not afraid. Jesus says, "Be not afraid, only believe." As long as I believe that Jesus is with me, I will not be afraid. David expressed that same truth when he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." It was David believing that the shepherd was with him. Do you feel Jesus with you every day? Do you know that Jesus is with you? Do you believe that Jesus is with you? If you're having trouble feeling the presence of God, if you're having trouble feeling the presence of the Father and of the Shepherd, if you're having trouble feeling the presence of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, if you're having trouble feeling the presence of your Savior, if you're having trouble feeling the presence of the great Shepherd, the good Shepherd, the chief Shepherd, as a little lamb, if you're afraid, you need to just stop everything else and look to the Lord. Call upon God. Believe. Believe that He loves you and believe that He can take care of you. Turn to 2 Timothy just a moment. Please look in your Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul here talks about that God has not given us the spirit of fear. When I am afraid, Callie, what am I supposed to do when I'm afraid? What time I am afraid, I will what? Say it again. Trust in thee, yes. That's what David said in Psalm 56. That's a verse of scripture that Callie and I talk about sometimes. It's Psalm 56 and verse 3, where David says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Every time that I'm afraid, I need to remember what David did. David knew that he was afraid many times in his life. David had many reasons to be afraid from a natural standpoint. He had many reasons to be afraid. But the reason he was not afraid so often, or when he was afraid, he knew what to do. What time I am afraid, I will trust in God. I need to look to God. I need to lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I don't need to be afraid. I'm not supposed to have a fearful heart. What did Jesus say in Mark 5:36? He said, "Be not afraid." Just one thing. All you got to do. Only what? Only believe. Only believe. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Well, if God didn't give you the spirit of fear, who do you think causes you to be afraid? It's the devil. The devil's alive and well. The devil does not want you to be of good courage. The devil does not want you to be rejoicing in the Lord. He does not want you to believe in the Lord. And he doesn't want you to believe God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Are there times that you have that feeling of power and of love and of a sound mind? When you feel the presence of God, when you feel the peace of God, when you know that God is with you, when you can feel Him upholding you and strengthening you, when you can feel the Father wrap His arms of love round about you and draw Him close to you, when you can feel and know that Jesus loves you, you have great peace. But you have to believe. You have to believe. God's given you faith, and it's that faith that enables you to believe God. One of the dear sisters in the church went to the funeral home this week and made all the funeral arrangements. She wasn't upset. She wasn't afraid. She's not afraid she's about to die. She just said that she wanted to make those arrangements. She wanted it all taken care of so that there wouldn't be any confusion when she did die. I'm telling you, brethren, somebody that believes God and believes in God, they can face death without any fear. They can face anything without any fear whatsoever. If you can face death without fear, you can face anything else without fear. Be not afraid, only believe. Just believe. Now Paul says here in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now what does the Scripture say in the text in Mark 5:36? What does the Scripture say that we have to do in order to not be afraid? He says, be not afraid, only what? Only believe. Just believe. Now, Paul said God has not given us a spirit of fear. Come down to verse 12, and you'll see the reason that Paul is telling the young preacher Timothy that he's not to be afraid, and he's telling Timothy the reason that he was not afraid, the reason Paul was not afraid. He says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have. I know whom I have believed. Did Paul believe God? Did he believe in God? Is there a difference in believing in God and believing God? I believe that there is. I believe that there are many more people who believe in God than there are people who believe God. See, when Paul was on that ship and was in the middle of that storm, he says, he didn't just say, I believe in God. He said, I believe God, that it shall be even as he has told me. Now, do you believe that much? Do you believe that it's going to be just like God said? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe it's going to be just like God said? Do you believe, for example, do you believe in the resurrection of the body? Do you really believe that one day Jesus is coming back to the earth and that all the dead in Christ are going to be raised from the dead? Do you believe their bodies? Doesn't matter if they were buried at sea. It doesn't matter if they've been buried 1,000 years and their body has gone back to the dust of the earth. It does not matter what has happened to that body. Do you believe that God has the power to raise that body from the dead? Now, that's the power of God. And you need to thank God if you really believe that. You need to thank God for giving you faith to believe that. You also need to thank God for telling you that in His Word. Because if God had not told us about the resurrection of the body, there would be no belief in the resurrection of the body. But we believe in the resurrection of the body because we believe God has the power to raise us from the dead. And we believe in the resurrection of the body because God has told us in His Word that's what's going to happen. So we should have no fear of death, and we should have no fear of the grave. That's the reason the Apostle Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul didn't have any fear of death. Paul didn't have any fear of Herod. John the Baptist didn't have any fear of Herod. When John the Baptist went to Herod and said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, he wasn't afraid. What happened to John the Baptist? They cut off his head. Well, I thought if you believed God, nothing bad would ever happen. That's a lie from the devil. You can believe God and believe in God, and you're still going to have trouble. It doesn't matter whether you believe God and don't believe in God, or whether you do believe God. If you don't believe God, you're going to have trouble. If you do believe God, you're still going to have trouble. God has not promised those who believe that they will not have trouble. In fact, brethren, I would tell you that some of the most godly people that I know on the face of this earth are having some of the biggest troubles I know of today. They're some of the most godly, most perfect, most righteous people that I know in the world today are having some big troubles in their lives. But the wonderful thing is, that when you see people that love God with all their heart, and are trying to follow God and trying to serve God, when they have troubles, you know what they do? They believe God. And because they believe God, they can face those troubles and problems. And they're strong in faith. And they're a great testimony of an individual that believes in God and believes God. They're a great testimony of an individual that is not afraid. They only what? They only believe. They only believe. Well, sounds simple, but I hope God will help us to grow every day so that we can really believe God. Not just believe in God, but believe God. Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught us that we're not to worry about food. Not to worry about food. You know, one thing I've learned this week is I'm glad that I am not a farmer. I've learned that this week in trying to work with Brother Ken. He's worked me down one day three times that I had to sit down, and he never left the field. I had to just sit down, couldn't do anymore. Felt like I was fainting over and over. Everything turned black, couldn't breathe, just had to lay down. I got in the shade to lay down, but I laid down. And went back another day this week and was going to plant three rows of corn, and got back and the planter wouldn't work. They said, we're going to try another planter. And we worked and worked and worked, and we changed one chain and took the link out and worked and worked and worked. We worked 2 or 3 hours, and we never did get that planter to work. When I went home, I thought, you know, this is crazy. Spend half a day trying to plant some corn when I can go to the store and buy some corn. And then I got to thinking that night, what if it doesn't rain on that corn? Or what if it starts growing and it gets up about half? Have you ever been by fields that they did plant and they fertilized and God didn't send the rain, and you watch that corn just begin to shrivel up? And I thought, if my livelihood, if my life, if I was spending everything I had to try to plant and try to grow vegetables, if I was dependent on that, I believe I would pray a lot harder than what I pray. I think maybe it would be good for us to learn that we cannot depend on grocery stores to provide the food that we need. It would be good for everybody here to plant a garden, at least a garden. And then do this. Don't water it yourself. Just ask God to water it. How much faith do you have? Can you not be afraid? Matthew 6, Jesus told the people. I had another person call me this week, and he said, Brother Billy, where does it say don't worry in the Bible? Don't worry. Anybody know where it says don't worry? And then he says, and also, where does it say don't be anxious? Well, I gave him several scriptures, and he said, well, I don't see the word worry, and I don't see the word anxious in any of those scriptures. Well, the scriptures I gave him taught not to worry and not to be anxious, but did you know the word worry is not even in the Bible? Now, if you'd asked me that last Sunday, I said, yes, the word worry is in the Bible. It says don't worry. No, the Bible doesn't say don't worry. It teaches us not to worry, but the Word, I'm just talking about the Word. Don't worry, that's not taught in the Word of God. The Bible does teach the people of God that we are not to worry, but it doesn't use the word worry. It tells us not to be afraid. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, the Scripture says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Now, what would be two words you could substitute there? Take no thought. That means what? That means don't worry. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet what your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? And then he says this in verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe that God feeds the birds? God feeds the birds. Teresa brought some more bird feed home. We're out of bird feed. All our feeders are out. Haven't seen any birds around lately. Maybe just one or two occasionally. Went out there yesterday or day before yesterday and cut a hole in the bag, poured the feed into the two feeders that I've got. Within 15 minutes, there were red birds, mocking birds, blue birds. Where in the world were all those birds? How did they find out? What kind of message went out that there was all this food there for those birds all of a sudden? Have you ever watched that? It's amazing how God feeds the birds. Sometimes He does it through people like you and me, but God doesn't need people to feed the birds. He's going to feed those birds if I don't buy bird food. The only reason I buy the bird food is to just watch the birds. God's going to feed them either way. I just like to see them. I like to watch them. Now, the question that Jesus asks us here, does God feed? He doesn't ask a question. He says, God feeds the birds, and God, listen, are ye not much better than they? Are you better than birds are? Now, there are a lot of liberal thinking, crazy people today who think that animals, they think that animals and people are on the same plane. Animals and people are not on the same plane. There's a major difference in animals and people. People are made in the image of God. God gave man dominion over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and all the animals in the earth. The animals are different than humans. And humans are worth much more. That's what Jesus says right here. You are worth much more than the little birds. And since the Father feeds the birds, and you are worth more than the birds, do you have to worry about running out of food? Do you have to worry about that? No. You need to do everything you can to provide for your family. You need to work. You need to save. You need to store up food for hard times. But don't trust in that food. Trust in the Lord. Don't depend on the food. Don't depend on your money. Don't depend on anything else. Do not, above anything, do not depend on the government. Depend on Jesus Christ. Depend on your Heavenly Father. Trust in the Lord. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid. Only do one thing. Only believe. And if you believe that God is going to take care of you, do you believe 1 Peter 5, 7 says that God cares for you? Do you believe God cares for you? There are some people that they're conscience is such that they just don't think God cares for them. I'm telling you, brethren, if you're a child of God, God does care for you. He cares for you more than anyone else cares for you. My mother's here this morning. She loves me probably as much as just about anybody. My wife loves me. But did you know that Jesus cares more about me than those two combined? Did you know that? Jesus loves you more than anyone else. God cares for you. God cares for you. God gave His only begotten Son for you. God cares for you. And God's going to take care of you. God will take care of you. Does Jesus care? Does He care for you? Yes, He does. Don't be afraid. Only do one thing. Only believe. believe. We need to also admit, like one man did in the Word of God. He says, "Lord, are there things you believe? Are there things you do believe?" But there was one man that said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." There's so many times that I think I'm strong in faith, and then something little happens, and I find out just how weak my faith is. Lord, help me not to be afraid. Help me to trust in you. Help me every day when I wake up to thank you for the life that you've given me and my family through another day, another night. Help me during this day. Help me, Lord, today. Guide me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, feed. Lord, water the earth. Water the earth. We've got men in the church that have cows. We have men in the church that have big, big gardens. We need to pray for God. There are a lot of people outside this church, their whole livelihood is depending on rain coming down at the right time and the right amount, and we need to be praying for God to send the right amount. He can send too much, but he doesn't ever send too much. Sometimes we get too much. He always does exactly what's right. God doesn't make any mistakes. Did you know God can make it rain on one field and not rain on another? I hope that God will help us this morning. In closing, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 6. Four. There's only four chapters in Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 4. The Word of God tells us in chapters 3 and 4 that we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to be happy. We need to be thankful to God for the blessings that we have. We need, I didn't get to Philippians, Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Did you know there are a lot of people that are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? There are a lot of people that are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're seeking money. They're seeking positions. They're seeking a lot of other things. But they are definitely not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry. Don't be anxious. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Is God able to take care of you? Look at Philippians 4, verse 19. I'll close with that one verse of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." My God, that's something I want everybody to hear this morning. If you believe in God, I want you to hear this message very clearly. My God shall supply your need. You don't have any reason to be afraid. If you love God, and if you're serving God, and if you're walking with the Lord, if you're staying close to the shepherd, my God shall supply your need. May God help us, is my prayer.